This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Welcome along, Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. Good to have you back in studio again this week.
Yeah, great to be in here and great to see some buzzer beaters, some big performances and the ladder really firming up as on both sides of the competition as we head into the last 2 weeks.
Now, I know you were there. We'll talk about this one more a little bit later on, but the Joondalup Wolves in the women hitting the buzzer beater to go into overtime and get the six-point victory. If they don't hit that Rebecca Benson shot, they're not there.
Yeah, Beck Benson on the buzzer with a not a step back, but a sidestep three off the board and sent the crowd up at Joondalup ballistic, so it was a great game to be at.
In the men's, your new recruit there at the Eastern Suns had a massive weekend, but unfortunately, a couple of losses as well to the Redbacks.
Yeah, two losses. One of those doubleheaders due to the COVID realignment of the season, but Joe Cook-Green was virtually unstoppable with 35 points on Friday night and 43 on Saturday. So hopefully signs of things to come.
Look, he'd certainly be a candidate based on those scores for a Player of the Week type of nomination, but not sure how they take these things into account with the two losses as well.
Yeah, two huge performances, but on the back of two losses for the Suns, I think it'd be very hard-pressed to win it. But if I got a vote, I would definitely be giving it to Joe Cook-Green for Player of the Week.
The plucky Wolves up there at Joondalup managed to almost get over the Willetton Tigers. It was a close one, in fact.
Yeah, not sure if it was because the 2011 championship team was there in attendance watching the boys, but a hard-fought loss, if you will, on the buzzer by 1 point. But yeah, was very proud of their performance on that night.
An undermanned Lakeside Lightning almost going down to the Cougars. Just 4 points in that one, 73-69 was another highlight from the weekend.
Yes, the fast-finishing Cougars, who are on the back of some great form in the last month or so, and the undermanned Lakeside Lightning still getting the job done. A good result there for Coach Daniels as they set their sights on a top two finish.
We'll break down all those games and more across the next hour or so. We're also going to welcome Jeremy Grace as our guest this week. We're hoping to chat with him about playing with Scott Machado and the form of the Mandurah Magic as the finals approach. Only two rounds to go. They're busy rounds, but we're almost to the tail end of this season now.
Very much so, and one of the most famous father-son duos that we'd have in Australian basketball. So very looking forward very much to speaking to Jeremy about the journey and where he thinks the Magic can finish this year.
Chris Pike will join us as he did last week to break down some of the women's action. It's round 17. All that and more across the next 60 minutes here on the NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show round 16 is in the bag. Only 18 rounds here in the NBL One West, and taking a look at the weekend's action, first of all in the women.
On Thursday night, the Rockingham Flames 103 got up over the Warwick Senators 86.
I guess you'd say the Senators with some patchy form in recent weeks, wins and losses, but they hit an informed Chiabattoni with 33 points. She was flagged well by Burrows and Richards with 24 apiece. Look, as expected, Stacey Barr, always productive, 26 points, but wasn't quite enough with the Flames getting that healthy victory up there at Warwick.
Friday night saw the Perth Redbacks taking on the Eastern Suns and coming away with the win, 81-62.
Well, as we said, the first of the two matchups with these teams in that bit of a fixturing anomaly. The Redbacks are getting this one. Dyer, usual great form from her, 22 points, 9 and 6. Jess Jakins and Bri Bailey both with 17 points. Maddie Allen, one of her unusual stat lines as usual, 3 points and 14 rebounds. Doing well. Look, only a couple in double figures for the Suns. Williams with 12 and Moyle with 11. Not enough production from them.
Friday night's fixtures continued with the East Perth Eagles taking on the Rockingham Flames, and the Eagles getting up 82-69.
Chiabattoni active again in this one with 18 points. Richards chipping in with 14, but it was Goulding's 32 points and 16 rebounds that helped to set the table for the win for the Eagles.
Friday night action wrapped up with the Mandurah Magic 96 getting over the Lakeside Lightning 56.
Casey Milo, really productive. Lovely stat line from her with 19 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals and just 1 turnover.
Wow.
I like that one. Bogue with 20 points and 13 rebounds in the win. For the Lightning, only Skeggs and Eisenbarger in double figures, and that resulted in a 30-point hole for the Lightning.
Saturday night got underway with the Joondalup Wolves taking on the Willetton Tigers. And in a game where we see the analogy that momentum favours no one, the Wolves came back to win in overtime, 85-79.
Well, the one we spoke of at the opening, a very exciting game. And it was essentially that top of the table clash, yep, virtually as well for the women between the Wolves and the Tigers. You mentioned Rebecca Benson hitting that bank three to get the Wolves into overtime. Had that missed, of course, the Tigers would have won. And the Wolves getting a 12-6 margin in the overtime period to get that final victory. Steindl was strong with 22 points. The usual culprits for the Tigers were there. Lubke, Winter, Sharp, Kelly and Gandini all in double figures. So had quite a well-rounded score. But as you say, just didn't have the right momentum at the right time.
And being at the game and being able to see it, I think Simon Parker was handcuffed very early on in the overtime with some key foul outs. I know Desiree Kelly was out with about 2.5 minutes to go in the overtime, which kind of then slowed them down. But up until that point, yeah, very competitive game.
Then on Saturday night, the Coburn Cougars getting up over the Lakeside Lightning, 83-66. It was a tough weekend for the Lightning with a couple of losses. The Cougars had good production from Simmons with a triple-double, 22 points, 11 rebounds, 12 assists. Edwards, only a double-double. How dare she? 17 and 11. And Cooper also 18 points for the Cougars. Eisenbarger, as usual, productive with 17 points. But as we said, a tough weekend for the Lightning.
Perry Lakes Hawks got up over the East Perth Eagles, 83-54.
Now, this is probably one that, at least if you went based on ladder positions, comes as a little bit of a surprise, particularly the size of that margin. But the Eagles kind of looked small compared to the Hawks when we saw them out there. And that big lineup of the likes of McKay, Donovan, Burden were all productive. Satie came on board for 19 points, 4 rebounds and 5 assists. She did really well. Look, the Eagles were without Fijo, so she seemed to have got injured the night before because she only played 4 minutes. And I saw her on the bench. Looked like some sort of a wrist type of thing going on. Perhaps there was a cast or something on her wrist. So they were a little bit down. I did reach out to Talia, but didn't get any response just to make sure she was okay and see how her injury was coming along. Goulding, 16 points for the Eagles, and they struggled to put points on the board with only 54. So a bit of an unusual outing. I'm sure Blake Stradove will be keen to throw that one to the side and focus on all of the good games, yeah, that they've had. But they definitely did struggle in that outing against the size of the Hawks.
And the round finished off with the back end of the double header between the Eastern Suns and the Perth Redbacks. Eastern Suns closing the margin from the night before, but still not good enough, going down 63-69.
Yeah, that fixturing anomaly again. The same result. Roscoe was active in this one, 20 points, and Allen actually scored quite a bit in this game, but she was a little down on her rebounds. 16 points, 5 rebounds and 5 assists for the Redbacks. Dyer doing her usual things with 26 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists and 4 steals. Another attractive stat line for me, that's for sure.
Yep, the Red Powerades must be in the change room again.
Well and truly. Well, look, we'll be back on the other side of this. Perhaps we'll have a look at the men's fixtures from the weekend, and then we've got Jeremy Grace to talk to before too long as well. It's the NBL One West Radio Show.
The NBL One West Radio Show with Brett Costello, Chris Pike, and Ben Ettridge.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Ben and Brett back with you to take a look at Round 16 action from last weekend. 10 games in the round, and it all started on Thursday night with the Warwick Senators going down by just 2 points to the Rockingham Flames, 86-88.
Tight one here, and the late game heroics from Justin King, just not enough to get him over the line. A really important win for the Flames as they continue to sort of rise up the ladder and look to cement a spot in that top four. But yeah, the Senators not quite hitting the panic button heading into the finals, but any losses in the next few weeks are only going to hurt their position on the ladder.
We spoke to it a few times. The Redbacks and the Eagles facing up twice across the weekend. It started on Friday night. The Redbacks getting up 100-89 over the Suns.
Yeah, and Joe Cook-Green really finding his feet now, and I think 35 points on 4 or 5 from the three-point line. He's very dynamic and he's hard to stop, but Lewis Timms and Isaac Gatorna have formed a very formidable front court pair, and the athleticism of Lewis Timms was too much for us to handle. So the Redbacks coming away with this one and leaving us to sort of think about what we're going to do the next night.
Wasn't an easy weekend for the East Perth Eagles. They had to face the Rockingham Flames and then back up against the Perry Lakes Hawks. It started with a loss going down to the Flames, 77-66.
Yeah, tough one again for the East Perth Eagles. It doesn't get any easier, and when the Flames have got their sights set on the finals, they're not going to go into these games and be messing around. They sort of handle their business fairly easily, and coming away with a 10-point win is good for them.
The Machado Mandurah magic continued on this weekend, and they got the win over slightly undermanned Lakeside Lightning, 94-78.
Yeah, speaking to a few people around the place, Lakeside have done their sums and worked out they need to win two of their next four games. So they've got a bit of an opportunity to rest the likes of Kyle Armour, Jay Bowie, Jared Prue and Corey Sherville and get them right for the run at the finals. But yeah, Machado, too good, 24-9-11. That's MVP-type numbers, and he's definitely leading the way in the resurgent magic.
The Senators travelled to Geraldton on Saturday after having played on the Thursday night against the Flames, and they managed to get the win 90-62 against the Buccaneers.
Yeah, Matthew Ang-Muo, no chance for late clock heroics in this one. Still having 21 points is a good return for him. But the Senators, led by Ethan Elliott, just way too good and way too productive and way too balanced. So these are the ones the Senators want to win to keep in touch with the top four. But yeah, the Bucks sort of, again, struggling to put points on the board when Matthew Ang isn't really dominating as we know he can.
We spoke to this one a little earlier on in the show. The Willerton Tigers getting up by 1 point over the Joondalup Wolves up there at HBF Arena, 74-73.
And the comments flying around was a few people hadn't seen Michael Vigor's new free throw shooting action. And there was a few raised eyebrows early on in the game, but then the big fella delivers, hitting 1 for 2 down the stretch to give them the 1 point advantage. And then, yeah, the Wolves unable to get a shot off essentially in that last 2.5 seconds from a side ball after a timeout really probably summed up their night. They were around the mark, but Tigers very good, and Adam Nina's men really, really forming into one of those really competitive teams and someone that you're not going to want to face in the finals.
What's he doing, Vigor? He's not doing underarm or something, is he?
No, he stands in his shot, and he's 6'10", 6'11" frame, then he quickly goes down into a full squat, and then he's back up, and it's in. It's very...
okay.
It's almost like a drill you do to teach someone how to bend their knees. If you're explaining to someone they had to put their knees in their shot, and like I say, it worked, and it is working, so good luck to him, but... Yeah, they come away with the win.
I know they also celebrated that 2011 championship at that game as well.
Yeah, great night. Great to see the boys. Doug Gates, Tony Pearman, club legends, 300 game players for the club were there. And a few of the younger boys that have now grown up and have got kids, and it was great for them to come down and see their dads walk out on the court and stuff like that. So, yeah, great night all around. And big thanks to the Joondalup Wolves for organising it for us.
After going down to the Southwest Slammers down there in Eton in round 15, the Goldfield Giants had a chance for their revenge as the Slammers travelled up to Niels Hansen Stadium, and that they did, getting the win 82-73 over the Slammers.
Yeah, great win for the Giants. Gives them something to hang their hat on, that they're getting a win at home. And for the Slammers, it's all part of the journey for those younger boys. Can they deliver week in, week out, and can they win games on those formidable home courts like the Giants and the Bucks? Because we know that those wins aren't guaranteed, and they can also set you up for success. So learning to play on the road, being competitive, that's what it's all about for them.
The Coburn Cougars were not far off the mark against an undermanned or at least resting Lakeside Lightning team, going down by just 473-69.
Yeah, again, on paper, you would have looked at it and said the Cougars at full strength, heading into this one against Lakeside, undermanned. But Rowan McKenzie, again, very, very good in this one. And Jack Eisenbarger icing the game. It's almost as if he waits to that fourth quarter to sort of turn it on, and in the blink of an eye, he'll have 4 or 5 points and really take the game by the scruff of the neck. So Lakeside get one of those wins that they're looking for on these next couple to help cement that top two position.
The Perry Lakes Hawks with what was a fairly cruisy victory over the East Perth Eagles. That score ballooning out to more than 30 throughout the game, but finally getting a win 92-70 against the East Perth Eagles.
Yeah, Perry Lakes, very, very consistent. Matt Leary is the one for me that probably holds their key to a championship. His ability to knock down the three-point shot, him and Ryan Smith, really give them a two-headed attack. You know, reminiscent of Seb Salinas and Treon Iliadis in the mid-2010s for the Wolves. If those two are going off, then it's very hard to stop. And then for the Eagles, Lee Roberts again, serviceable with 15 points and 7 rebounds. But yeah, just not enough avenues to basket for the Eagles.
The blip in that box score, and having been at the game, was Andrew Ferguson not scoring any points until the very end of the game. He finally snuck in a little two-pointer, but that was a little bit unusual considering that the Eagles particularly are a little undersized outside of Lee Roberts perhaps, but a pretty good balanced scoring attack for the Hawks aside from that. And Ryan Smith celebrating his 150th game for the Hawks in style with 16 points, including 5 of 10 from downtown. The final game of the round was the rematch from Friday night, the Eastern Suns hosting the Perth Redbacks, but a very similar margin again.
Yeah, similar margin. Joe Cook-Green went absolutely ballistic in this one, 43 points on 8 for 10 shooting behind the arc. And again, if you were to talk to people around the league before he got here, that might have been the knock on him, that he wasn't a consistent enough three-point shooter, but he's definitely showing since he's got here that maybe the baskets are to his liking. But in this one, the Redbacks, just too many contributors. I think they had four guys close to 20 points. Tevin Jackson, Gatorna, and Marshall Nelson all getting amongst it. And Lewis Timms coming back to his old team. Again, just too much. Those four guys with... they didn't have Joel Wagner in this one, but I think their starting five is as good as anyone going around at the moment when they've got Joel Wagner in that group.
So thinking about players of the week, Cook-Green, just based on his scoring we mentioned earlier, might be up there. Who else might be in the mix? Machado, almost that triple-double in a win?
Yeah, you'd throw Scott Machado in there. I think this award tends to favour those guys who have gone out and got the win. But yeah, definitely if you're just looking at the pure numbers and the ability to stuff the stat sheet, Joe Cook-Green was phenomenal this weekend. And you know, he's scoring, I think he's averaged about 38 points a game, and he's hit 12 of 15 threes from the behind the arc. So definitely as an individual performance, great. But Machado probably gets it with his near triple-double and the win on the weekend.
Well, we can see what Jeremy Grace has got to say about all of that as well, because we're hoping to speak with him on the other side of this one. Of course, the son of Wildcats legend Ricky Grace, plying his trade currently for the Mandurah Magic alongside, I guess, the guy who's getting a lot of the spotlight at the moment, Scott Machado, the Magic. But the likes of Jeremy Grace have been with the Magic for a while now, his second season, I think, really.
Yeah. He didn't get to play that first one that got shut down, but then, he's been around them for a while and definitely has slotted in and giving Aaron Trahair that two-headed monster that he can throw at people in the backcourt.
We'll be back on the other side of this on the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. And as promised, we've managed to connect with Jeremy Grace, one of the stars of the Mandurah Magic. Now, I don't know if you get sick of people saying this, but of course I'm going to put it out there. The son of Ricky Grace. Everyone knows Ricky Grace due to his connection with the Wildcats, such a long-term player here for Perth. Welcome along to the NBL One West Radio Show.
Hey, what's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Now, it's been a pretty big season for you guys. You were set for a big season anyway, and then you added some guy called Scott Machado, and I imagine it's been a bit of a whirlwind since then.
Oh, yeah, it definitely has. But, you know, it's been great having him. Definitely enjoy having him for sure.
Jeremy, like the first sort of 8 to 10 games, I was sitting back watching the league as an assistant coach for the Eastern Suns and looking at what you were doing, and we probably had you pegged in that top sort of 5 or 6 as far as an MVP, given what you were doing on the court and the leadership and everything that you were bringing. You know, when you guys are sitting there at sort of, you know, in the top eight, which is somewhere where the Magic hadn't been for a while, and then suddenly Aaron comes to practice and says, oh, look, we've got Scott Machado coming along. Where did that sort of put your head as to what was going to happen to your game, and then also where you thought that the team could go once you got here?
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Well, yeah, honestly, just when they told me that we were getting Scott, I was really just excited because I'm all about winning. So, you know, I just felt like he would help our team so much. And I also felt he would take a lot of the pressure off of me and just make things a lot easier for me and everybody. So I was excited. I had no bad feelings about him coming in or taking the shine or anything like that. It was all good. All good with me, for sure.
And how's he kind of settled into the team? It looks as if, you know, he's the type of guy who probably could go out and score 40 or 50 if he really needed to, but it seems like he has been gelling in with everyone. I feel like Brian Carwell has benefited from a lot of his sort of penetration and playmaking from that point of view as well.
Yeah, yeah. Scott's so unselfish. I think he could easily go out and average 40 or give us 50 on any given night whenever he chooses, but he's so unselfish and so good at making his teammates better, everybody better, that it just makes it easy for all of us to just go out there. Yeah, like you said, BC's benefiting from it. I feel like I am, pretty much everybody. So, it's been great to have him.
If I recall correctly, although you lost that first game after he came through against Willerton, I think you've pretty much been undefeated since then. Does that sound right?
Yeah. After that first one, we lost and we had a last-second shot to try and tie it up to go to overtime. And then, yeah, ever since then, we haven't lost. I think we're one of our last seven.
And for you, Jeremy, like you're the position you play, you couldn't ask for probably two better mentors at the moment, two of the greatest point guards that have played in the NBL ever, in Aaron Trahair and your dad. What is it like to have those guys be your coach? And again, we've spoken to Aaron about how for him to be able to impart the knowledge onto those younger guys that are down there. But for someone like yourself that's trying to make that jump to the NBL, what is it that they're giving you and helping you on that journey?
Oh, yeah, definitely been a pleasure having them there with me every day, just giving me tips and small pointers on what I can do better, things I could change, you know, things that they like that I'm doing that I should do more of. Yeah, having my dad on the bench has been great because, you know, he's watched my game growing up. He knows everything. He knows how to motivate me. There's ways to push me that other people probably wouldn't know. So it's been great having him. And then, yeah, having Scott's outlook and just being able just to watch him play and things he does on the court, just try and steal little things from that, add it to my game, and then the little advice that he gives me during the games. And, it's just been great to be able to watch him firsthand up close and just learn from one of the really good players out here.
With how productive you're being in the NBL 1, have you still got an eye on the NBL, and have you got any plans or moves afoot there?
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely love to play NBL. Definitely a goal of mine. I'm just working right now, doing everything I can to try and make it happen. So hopefully it ends up coming into it.
We may take a chance to take a quick break on the NBL One West radio show. We'll be back with Jeremy Grace to talk about the upcoming match against the Perry Lakes Hawks.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. We're still on the line with Jeremy Grace, a star for the Mandurah Magic in the NBL One West. Of course, the son of Ricky Grace, legend of the Perth Wildcats. Jeremy, this Tuesday night, depending on when people are listening to this radio show or podcast, you're facing up against one of the ladder leaders, the Perry Lakes Hawks. Do you know much of them, and what are you expecting from this sort of slightly unusual Tuesday night fixture?
Yeah, expecting a good game. I know it's going to be different playing on a Tuesday. Normally we practice on a Tuesday, so that'll be a bit different. But I don't really know too much about them. I know that they're a really good team. Obviously, everything anybody says is always that they're a great team, that they play well together, that they've been together for a while, so they know what they're doing. So I'm excited to go out there and test ourselves out and see how we match up with them.
And sort of as we sort of said before, you were sitting sort of flirting with that top eight, and the season was going along, and then now, you know, again, not just on the back of Scott, but you've had guys like yourself stepping up. Big Xavier stepped up as well. Riley Parker's been great for you.
Yeah.
Where do you sort of see, you know, you're now eyeing that top four? Is that a goal? And have you guys spoken about, you know, we think we've got the team that can sort of go a lot further than we have done in the past?
Oh, yeah. We definitely have ultimate confidence in ourselves. Definitely would love to be in the top four. Keep winning. If we keep winning, I feel like we will be able to hopefully make the top four. I feel like we got the team to do it, and we've been playing very well. We're just gelling, getting better, seems like every game, figuring new things out. So I think if we stick to it, I think we've got a great chance to make it happen.
I think the big BC has probably had the game against the Hawks circled in his calendar. He played a few seasons with the Hawks and, in fact, won a championship with them as well, and he always seems to be ready to fire up when he plays against his former teams.
Yeah, he is. That's very true. Yeah, he's mentioned a couple times that he should play for them, so I'm sure he'll be ready to go like he has been all season. He'll definitely want to get this one.
So it looks like your run home doesn't get any easier, Jeremy. I can see in round 18 you've got the Lakeside Lightning, who, if at full strength, have been around that top of the ladder. You've also got the Flames in there as well, who, again, when they add in the likes of Hire and Jervis, have been looking very strong. Also the Perth Redbacks, who have had good form over the last couple of months as well. So the run home, not an easy one for the Magic.
Yeah, not easy at all. Three or four of the top teams in this league. Definitely won't be easy. We already lost to Rockingham this year once, so you know, definitely looking forward to playing them again. The Redbacks, that would be great because I know a lot of them over there. So every time we play them, I'm looking forward to that as well. And Lakeside, who we just played, I know they were missing a few people, so maybe they'll have few of those people back the next time we play them, so it might be even more of a tougher game than it was this time. So definitely not easy coming down the stretch, but we're looking forward to the challenge, and hopefully it goes well.
It's probably not a bad run in some ways, because they're the same teams you're likely to be facing in the finals, so it does give you that chance to kind of prepare against them, like you said earlier, test yourself, run your sets and plays, and see what's going to be successful for you in these once-off finals as well.
Yeah, that's another thing. I think it'll be good for us, just so we can see exactly where we're at. It's almost like playoff games before the playoffs, because all the teams are so well, and probably have to end up facing them if we want to do anything in the playoffs anyway. So, yeah, I think it'll be great for us to go out there and play against the top competition and see exactly where we're at with it.
I'm looking at Ben just in case he's got another question.
Yeah, I've got to ask it, and feel free to answer it as any way you want, but I'm sure everyone would like to know, does Dad ever bring up his playing record, and do you ever say to him, I reckon I could have got you, or does he still think that he could beat you in a game of one-on-one? Where are we at with that relationship?
Oh, nah, we don't really talk about those things that often, especially not anymore. I think his playing days are about over with. And now he's been through a lot on the court. And I think he's pretty much hung his shoes up. But if you ask him his prime versus my prime, I'm sure he would have something to say about that.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. Nah, well answered. Very well answered.
So the one-on-one in the driveway is well and truly seen its days, you reckon?
Yeah. I think after I got to be about 16, I think those days are over with. So.
Very good.
Fair enough. Well, look, we appreciate your time coming on the NBL One West radio show. Been a fantastic high-profile season for the Magic with the NBL One, of course, coming on and then adding Machado. So we do hope that has helped to sort of put the spotlight on you a little bit as well with any ventures and goals that you may have for the future also.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Of course, and good luck for the rest of the season and the upcoming finals. Only two rounds to go here in the NBL One West.
Yeah, it feels like it's flown by now.
Yeah. It certainly is. All right, the voice of Jeremy Grace there. Thanks very much for joining us. It's the NBL One West radio show.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello, Chris Pike, and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. And we're joined on the line by sports journalist Chris Pike. Welcome along once again.
Yeah, hi, guys. Good to be back again. And what an exciting time we're at, 2 weeks out from the finals in the women's competition. I'm sure Ben's covered off the men's nicely, but just coming back to last week, I mean, Rockingham, I saw them on the Friday night and on the Thursday night, sorry, and they looked fantastic. 24 hours later, they lost to East Perth. 24 hours after that, East Perth loses a big game to the Hawks, and we've got a team like the Mandurah Magic, who I think are probably the hottest team in the league right now, and they're not even in the top eight. So 2 weeks to go, and things couldn't be placed in any more of an exciting fashion, I don't think.
Well and truly. We were commenting earlier as well, there has been plenty of excitement in the women's game, not to discount that big one, overtime victory for the Wolves, of course, over the Tigers as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Top of the table clash, and it goes to overtime. You get a bit of a prayer from the returning old veteran, Rebecca Benson, back in the league, and she banks in a three off 1 foot to force it to overtime, and the Wolves go on to win that game. So to keep that race with Wilton for top spot well and truly alive, and almost every game right now is pretty exciting in the women's competition. It's great to see, and we've still got genuinely probably 10 teams that can make the playoffs with 2 weeks to go.
Certainly plenty of action across this week. It starts on Tuesday night down there at Bendat Basketball Centre as the Hawks host the Magic. 6:30 p.m. tip-off for the women.
I'm really looking forward to this one, not only because of the men's match that will follow, which I'm sure Ben's talked about, which will be pretty exciting with Scotty Machado taking on the league leaders, but this women's game is well and truly worth checking out just on its own. You have a look back to last week, and the Hawks were able to, I said last week, as you'll remember, Brett, I won't tip against these Perth until I have a reason to. All of a sudden, Perry Lace comes out and beats them by 29 points just 24 hours after East Perth hands Rockingham a big loss. So, amazing performance. But Mandurah, I think they are the team that's the hottest in the league right now, but they sit outside the top eight still. They beat Lakeside by 40 points last week, and they're basically doing it without having recruited. Vlad hasn't gone out to recruit. I don't think he had the chance to because he took the job late. But Casey Milo is still doing what she's done for more than 500 games. Carly Bogey's doing terrific things. And this Mandurah team is looking really dangerous. I think if they can sneak into the top eight, they can win the championship. But they aren't guaranteed of getting in there right now. So this game is a toss of the coin because they're both in great form. But I just think the Magic are too hard to go past right now.
The team you mentioned as the one you wouldn't tip against, the East Perth Eagles, coming up against the Warwick Senators. I mentioned a few weeks ago that the thing that the Eagles are going to perhaps struggle with is that their players outside their import and Talia Fijo haven't really been in these situations before. So they are going to be heading into uncharted waters. Where do you see this one going?
Yeah, good point. Talia Fijo didn't play in that game last week against the Hawks, which didn't help, and Mary Golding didn't have her best night either, which was obviously a big part of why they lost. The Senators need to win. Senators aren't guaranteed of anything still just yet, and they've lost their last couple, including last week against Rockingham. It's a tough one. It'll be interesting how East Perth now responds to a loss. They haven't dealt with this for quite a while. They'd won seven straight coming into that game last week, but I still think East Perth are a genuine threat, so I think East Perth on their home floor will just get the job done.
The second of the Thursday night fixtures kicks off 6:30 p.m. at HBF Arena. The Joondalup Wolves hosting the Coburn Cougars.
Yeah, interesting one. You would think the Wolves would be too strong coming off that overtime win, as we talked about, over Willerton last week. But Coburn needs to win too. They're still not guaranteed anything, even though they beat Lakeside last week and they got a pretty impressive triple-double out of Simmons. So that was pretty exciting to see. We don't see a triple-double every day of the week, but no, I still think Joondalup, especially after Joondalup, will be too good.
The team that you saw firsthand last Friday night, the Perth Redbacks taking on the Mandurah Magic, the team that you've tipped as the hottest team in the league. Where's this one going?
Yeah, great game. Really, really looking forward to it. Some of the matchups, I'm really looking forward to Michaela Dyler up against Casey Milo. That matchup could decide the result, but you have a look at the bigs. You've got Carly Bogue up against Maddie Allen as well. That'll be really important. But Mandurah just can't afford to lose right now. They're in a position where they're playing great, but they just can't afford to lose if they want to play finals. The Redbacks probably guaranteed finals, but they can still sneak into the top four if they keep winning too. So both teams with plenty to play for, but yeah, I'll stick with Mandurah until I see them lose.
Perry Lakes may just be clicking at the right time of the season. They've got a good home stand to round things out throughout round 17 and 18, and they host the Eastern Suns on Friday night, 6:30 p.m. tip-off for the women.
Yeah, it's an interesting one for the Hawks because they're just so up and down. We can see how good they can play when they're at their best, and we saw that in that big win against East Perth. And when their bigs are allowed to dominate, they've got the best front court in the league, clearly, with Megan McKay and Nat Burton and Sarah Donovan and Maddie Dennis. That is unstoppable when they're up and going. But on paper, this Suns team should be able to match them. Sam Roscoe and Elise Ironmonger, on paper, look to be a terrific front court. They just haven't quite clicked. The backcourt led by Jill Williams and Rebecca Matroni should be better than it is. They should be better than 4-12, and I'm sure Craig Mansfield feels like that too. So they're always a dangerous team, the Suns, and the Hawks are such an up-and-down team this season that I actually think this is a bit of a toss of the coin, but just because Perry Lakes are playing for their season, I'll stick with them.
Coming off their heartbreaking loss last weekend against the Wolves, the Tigers take on the Slammers. And is this one where Parker goes out and really goes for the jugular, or does he sort of sit back and go, we can get through this one, we're 2 weeks out from finals, I need to rest some bodies? What would be his philosophy here, do you think?
You played against Simon Parker, Ben, I think. Did he ever take
it? I practiced against Simon Parker, and I can tell you that there wasn't a screen that he didn't think he could run through. So, yeah, I probably answered my own question there.
Exactly, yeah. No, I wouldn't want to be the Slammers this week, it's fair to say. I think the scoreline could get quite ugly here. The Tigers will want to get back to form. They want to bounce back, and they want to finish on top. So they need to keep winning if they want to finish on top. I still think they've got the best 1-2 punch in the league with Alex Sharp and Sam Lubke, and the Slammers will have no answer for those two. And, yeah, I think it could be 50-60-plus point result.
The Mandurah Magic hosts the Rockingham Flames at Mandurah Aquatic Rec Centre there on Saturday night, 5 p.m. tip-off with the women.
Another huge game. What a week for the Magic. They've got three massive games which will decide their season, and now their local rivals, the Flames, who I saw them last Thursday. They looked great against the Senators, and then 24 hours later they didn't look so great against East Perth, but they've got their backcourt back with Alex Tripitoni and Taya Burrows. They've got Bogan and Zoe Richards up front who are doing nice things, but still, like I said before, until I've got a reason to see the Magic lose a game, I still think they'll continue their winning ways, especially at home.
The weekend doesn't get any easier for the South West Slammers on the Joondalup Wolves, who have their tail in the air and be riding high on the back of overtime sending shot and then running away with the victory against the Tigers there.
Well, can you imagine being 0-15 and then you're playing the top two teams in one weekend?
Later on we look at the 2-24 Magic in 2002, yep. So I know how the South West Slammers feel.
I feel for them. At least they're at home, so hopefully they can put up a bit more of a fight. But again, the Wolves need to keep winning if they want to finish on top as well. So I would expect a similar margin to what happens against the Tigers.
And the women's fixtures wind up on Saturday night with the Warwick Senators hosting the Willerton Tigers.
Every game, it's tough to tip this week, apart from probably the two Slammers games, unfortunately. But yeah, this game's another hard one. The Senators, they need to get some form back and they need to want they're probably guaranteed to playing finals, but they don't want to be limping into the finals. So, you know, Stacey Barr against her old team is always fascinating in its own right. So that'll be interesting against Willetton. But, yeah, I still think the Tigers are a championship threat, and the Senators probably aren't quite. So I think I'll stick with the Tigers.
So given you're looking at three wins for the Magic across that extended kind of weekend, you're obviously thinking that they may be able to sneak their way into the eight. And if so, who do you think that they dislodge?
That's a tough one because there's not an obvious spot there. Perry Lakes are playing well enough, you would think, to deserve a spot as well. And Coburn have got a two-game gap on them right now. And maybe Coburn is the one that's a little bit vulnerable. And maybe the Senators aren't guaranteed of anything either. I still think there's probably room for both Perry Lakes and Mandurah. And, yeah, I'm thinking maybe one of the Senators or the Cougars misses out. I can't see the Lightning sneaking back in there. They're a further one game back and they don't play this weekend. And they haven't had Emma Clark and Michaela Perini last weekend either. So, yeah, I would rule the Lightning out and the Suns and obviously the Slammers. But one of the Senators and the Cougars. So over the last 2 weeks, we'll follow their progress. But, of course, that all depends on the Magic getting the job done and taking all three wins this weekend, which won't be easy given that one of them's against Perry Lakes and maybe that game tomorrow night knocks one of those two out. Yeah. One of those two out as well. I mean, we just never know.
Potentially. Hawks having that home stand, probably a little bit of an advantage potentially for them to try and lock in that seventh or eighth position. But it's certainly going to be interesting across last couple of rounds, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't be better placed. I think it's always a danger when we get late into a season and the finals positions are set and the last rounds can be some dead rubbers, but that's not the case now, which is pretty exciting. You turn up pretty much any given night, and I'm sure when Ben turns up to get ready for his men's game, he probably catches some surprises when he has to look up the scoreboard to see what's happening in the women's game first.
Yeah, look, and again, I say this all the time, those early wins that you get you out of the quagmire of that back end of the season. And yeah, we spoke about the Magic men's team, their last four to four games against the top four teams. And that, you know, yeah, you get battled hardened, but they have to win those games and keep winning those games to keep them in that position. It's almost like every game from now on is a playoff game for them. So every game that you're playing under pressure just sort of takes its toll a little bit. But again, on the flip side, it can prepare you for what's coming down the track. But yeah, the teams that are sitting on top of the ladder, the East Perth and the Perry Lakes on the men's side, Lakeside and so forth, they're probably sitting there watching it all evolve and hoping that the teams sort of smack each other around and go to quadruple overtime and run out of legs. So that would be what they would be thinking.
All right, well, we thank you once again for your time, Chris, and we hope that we can perhaps speak with us again over the next couple of weeks as we round out the season.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Bye.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello, Ben Ettridge with you as we preview some Round 17 action. Depending on when you hear this podcast or radio show, it starts on Tuesday night, August the 3rd, the first of 13 big matches across Round 17. The Perry Lakes Hawks are hosting the Mandurah Magic at Bendat Basketball Centre. We spoke with Jeremy Grace, got a bit of a preview of this one. How do you see it going down, Ben?
6 weeks ago, you would have put this in the books for the Perry Lakes Hawks. But as we know, the backcourt of Machado and Grace is quite dynamic. And look, for me, this would be the first time that Scott Machado is probably going to come up against a front court that is almost of NBL size. They've got a 7-footer, they've got a 6-foot-8 Lewis Thomas, Ben Purser. Those sorts of guys are big bodies that aren't usually on the teams he's been going against. So his avenue to basket won't be as easy as what he might have found it. So he's going to be really relying on the likes of Grace and Riley Parker to sort of hit some open shots and open those lanes to basket. So, look, I think it'll be a close one. The Magic are the hottest team in the league at the moment, but I think the Hawks, knowing what's on the line for them, that top spot, I know they value that. I think at home on Tuesday night at Bendat, the Hawks will get this one in a very tight game.
We spoke to Jeremy about it. I'm expecting Big BC, Brian Carwell, to step up, and he's one who can certainly match the size of Andrew Ferguson. And the Magic are probably quite a good and somewhat awkward matchup for the Hawks in some ways.
Yeah, there's a bit of difference there. But again, I think the Hawks will have too much size. BC's got the size, but does he have the mobility to get out and guard Ferguson on the perimeter as well?
The struggling East Perth Eagles, despite the addition of Lee Roberts, will face up against the Warwick Senators at Herb Graham.
And I think the Senators really need this one. They need to get a few wins under their belt and start to move back up that ladder. They've dropped to seventh on the back of a few key people out. Justin King, as we've said, has missed a couple of buzzer beaters at the end. They've been in winning positions. It's can they get over the line? And I think they'll get this one done and take care of business.
The next fixture could determine who will finish within the top eight between the Joondalup Wolves and the Coburn Cougars. They face off on a Thursday night fixture at HBF Arena, 8:30 p.m. tip-off for the men.
Yeah, I know the Wolves will be welcoming back Robbie Huntington in this one. He was missing against the Tigers, so they'll have that extra big body. Whether or not he's put out on the floor to guard Nathan Pond, we'll see. But, yeah, both teams with it all to lose, if you will. I predicted a few weeks ago the winner of this game would cement eighth spot and make the playoffs. So let's go overtime, and it's at HBF Arena, Wolves on the buzzer in overtime.
We can only hope for that one in the highlight reels. A couple of teams that have been certainly firing offensively. The Magic have to back up from that Tuesday night game against the Hawks. They've actually got three games across this round, being such an extended round, but they face the Perth Redbacks on the Friday night. The Redbacks hosting the Magic out there at Belmont Oasis Leisure Centre.
Again, the fast-finishing Redbacks hot off two wins last weekend coming up against Mandurah Magic. Very, very similar. I think Joel Wagner matches up great against Scott Machado, defensive hard-nosed guard. And then Jeremy Grace and Marshall Nelson would almost be worth the price of admission, those two going head-to-head. And then the front court, Lewis Timms and Isaac Katona doing a very good job going up against Xavier Shaw and Brian Carwell and the likes. I think it's going to be a great game. I think the Redbacks, though, they're really playing well at home. And being it's the second game in a short turnaround for the Magic, I think the Redbacks might squeak past in this one.
The Perry Lakes Hawks with an extended homestand to round out the season. They're going to host the Eastern Suns at Bendat Basketball Centre.
Similar to what I said earlier for Scott Machado, this will be the first time that Joe Cook-Green sees a front line as big as this in the NBL 1 West. And Mitch Clark is a great on-ball defender, and I think he'll make life very difficult. I just don't think we have enough support for Joe at the moment. He's doing a great job. He's trying to get guys involved in the game, but the Hawks have got their eyes on a top-of-the-table finish and a grand final berth in the NBL 1 West, and I think they'll protect their home court on the Friday night.
The Willetton Tigers, despite having some ins and outs from their lineup, they'll have their eyes on a win against the visiting Southwest Slammers there on Friday night at Willetton Basketball Stadium, 8:30 p.m. tip.
Another chance for the Tigers to get some reps with the guys that have been out. Hopefully Roosevelt Williams Jr. is back for this one, and he'll provide them another able backcourt person to run with Minchinton and Damian Scott. I think Michael Vigor versus Mitch Keenan's a good matchup. Lots of learnings there for Mitch going against one of the best bigs in the league, but I think the Tigers will get this one fairly easily.
The third game of the round for the Mandurah Magic season return home to the Mandurah Aquatic Centre and host the Rockingham Flames from just down the way.
Again, doesn't get any easier, and Scott Machado going up against Greg Heyer and Tom Jervis. We probably would have thought that was an NBL matchup, but look, the Magic at home Saturday night, I think he said earlier before, Jeremy said that they'd lost to the Flames, so they'll be looking to get this one back and really get back on their feet with a win in this one. So I'll go the Magic in this one, but the Flames are playing very well at the moment as well. Wouldn't be surprised if it went the other way.
The Geraldton Buccaneers, with not a lot to play for other than pride, will be hosting the Coburn Cougars up at Active West Stadium, who are still in the hunt for that eighth type of position.
Yeah, the Cougars will be coming off the back of the game against the Joondalup Wolves, but again, I think the operative word there that you use is pride, and one thing we know about the Bucks is they have a lot of pride, and especially when they're playing at home, they are a different beast. They do match up quite well in this one. Muo versus Gav Field, another one that would be worth the price of admission. Two great shot makers, but I do think the Cougars have got a bit too much to play for. If they do lose to the Wolves, they'll be looking to sort of rectify that and stay in that finals hunt very quickly. So heading up there and trying to get the win would be very much on their mind.
Similarly, on Saturday night, the Wolves head down to Eaton Rec Centre to play the Southwest Slammers. You'd think, all things being equal, they'd perhaps be too strong, and with that extra incentive of also wanting to stay in the hunt for that top eight.
Yeah, 100%. But again, with the Wolves, it's a bit of Jekyll and Hyde who turns up. You know, they've been very inconsistent this year, and it's shown on the board. Again, a loss to the Cougars the night before could spur them on to a victory against the Southwest Slammers. Coming back from Goldfields last weekend might be a little bit too much for those guys. So the Wolves should get this one. But again, it's just depending on the team that turns up after driving 2 hours down the Bustle Highway.
This next fixture, if both squads are at full strength, would set to be quite a feisty and entertaining matchup. The Lakeside Lightning hosting the Perth Redbacks. But as you mentioned, the Lightning may be a little strategic with their lineups.
Yeah, injury riddled is probably the easiest way to put it, although they're getting good service from their bench players. But any team that loses Corey Sherville, Kyle Armour, Jared Prue and Jay Bowie, that's a lot to lose, and against a team like the Redbacks, who are now really, really starting to play some good basketball, I think it might be too much for them to handle if they aren't available.
Another battle of the battlers, the Goldfield Giants hosting the East Perth Eagles. The Giants, who seem to have some injury trouble of their own with Pasava out of the lineup again recently. Sometimes these fixtures can actually turn out to be quite exciting.
Yeah, look, the Giants got a win up at home last weekend, and we know winning form is good form, and I think that's what they needed. And again, they're playing for pride, they're playing for all the people that get out there to that stadium and watch them play up there. So I think they'll get up and they'll get the win over the Eagles in this one.
The last of the Saturday night fixtures sees the Warwick Senators host the Willerton Tigers Saturday night, 7 p.m. up there at Warwick Stadium.
Yeah, it's a really funny situation, this. Both teams on exactly the same wins. All that separates them is two more losses for Warwick. So, look, both teams would have come into this season with the aspirations of finishing in the top four. As you said earlier, a few losses earlier this season due to injury have really set a cat amongst the pigeons for the Senators, and they'd really be pushing to get this one. I'd expect to see Justin King, Cody Ellis and Caleb Davis up and about, and a really great matchup in the backcourt of Ethan Elliott versus Connor Minchinton. I think that's going to be a great battle of the lefties.
And after facing the Perry Lakes Hawks on Friday night, the Eastern Suns then have to travel on Sunday to face the Geraldton Buccaneers at midday up there on Sunday. Is that an early morning start, or how do the Suns tackle that?
I think the boys are heading up mid-morning on Saturday, and they'll get up there just after lunchtime, bed in, and maybe even go and watch the game that night, and then be at the stadium early for the game the next day. And again, it's a similar situation for the Bucks as they normally have to play on a Saturday when they come down here and then back up again at lunchtime. So that's no change for their routine. For the Suns, though, bit of a change to routine. Again, on paper, you'd say the Suns should get this one, but the Bucks are a very prideful team, and I wouldn't be surprised if Mathiang Muo didn't have a big game. Although the last time these two teams went to head, it was the Suns who broke the duck and got the win. So I'll tip the Suns boys on Sunday up there.
So with that big 13 game sort of in mind for this round 17, the second last round, things seem to be settling a little bit in terms of ladder positions. It seems unlikely that anyone would dislodge the Hawks and the Lightning from that 1-2 spot. That's probably just going to depend on their final order.
Yeah, look, I'd be looking to see from second down to seventh, as I said, there's only really two losses separating all those teams. So that's probably where we're going to see some change. Won't be huge, just some jostling there. But yeah, lots of interest around that Coburn-Joondalup scenario, and as to see who can make it into the top eight. Funnily enough, both those two teams play this weekend, and they're from the 2016 grand final as well. They've sort of fallen from that top 1-2 in the league down to that position, fighting for that last playoff spot.
We'll be back after this to round things out on this week's edition of the NBL One West Radio Show. We've still got Lost SBL to come as well.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello, Chris Pike, and Ben Ettridge.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show, taking a look at a very popular segment now called Lost SBL. It was our state basketball league for 30 years, from 1989 right through to 2019, before it all got stopped by COVID, and then we became the NBL One West, of course. And we're not sad about that, but we'd like to take a look back, and we're up to the year 2002, and gee, it was a massive year for the Perry Lakes Hawks.
Massive year for the Perry Lakes Hawks, and a not-so-massive year for the Mandurah Magic. So, look, yeah, great year for the Hawks, both on their men's and women's programs.
Look, the men certainly went undefeated through the whole year, the regular season and the final series, a 26-0 minor premiership for the regular season. They dispatched the Redbacks 2-0 in the quarterfinals. They got rid of the Giants 2-0 in the semis. And then the grand final, 101-97 over the Tigers. And you had a bit of a memory about this game as well.
I do. I seem to have a memory of Stephen Black going absolutely nuts in this one and hitting something like 54 or 52 points in the grand final. I stand corrected, but that's just that jumped out at me when I saw that and a flashback of that happening. So, yeah, big effort if it was true.
Yeah, look, certainly to get within 4 points of the Hawks, who had gone undefeated that whole season, was obviously not a bad effort at all. A couple of Aussies for a dual MVP in 2002.
Yeah, Jared Moore battling away out there for the Swan City Mustangs as they were then. And then Kirk Slabolepsky at the Stirling Senators, joint MVPs, and two Australians that had come through our development system in the state programs, and for them to win the MVP award was quite huge.
Coach of the Year in the men, John Gardner, backed up his effort in 2001 to take out that award again.
Yeah, John Gardner, the man that we all aspire to be like, for those of us who tread the boards on the sideline, the grandfather, if you will, of basketball in WA and such a great servant of the Perry Lakes Hawks and the mastermind behind these championship runs of the 2000s.
In the women's, it was also a back-to-back for the Perry Lakes Hawks, going 21-1 in the regular season, then taking out their quarters against the Redbacks undefeated, their semi against the Flames undefeated, to knock off the Lightning in the grand final 84-55. So between the men's and women's program for Perry Lakes Hawks that year, only one loss in the whole season.
It's just phenomenal. And Rick Morgan, again, then just doing a great job helping build that dynasty, and to have it happening concurrently, both men's and women's programs dominating as they did, testament to those two men.
It was Keith Hallward who was the coach of the year that year in the women.
Yeah, Keith Hallward, a longtime servant of the Perth Redbacks, played SBL with his son Wade for a season there at the Redbacks as well. And Keith was a very, very good coach, very astute man. Man, knew his business, and great to see him winning a coach of the year.
The women's SBL most valuable player for 2002 was Jenny Krause.
Yeah, Jenny Krause helping get the Lakeside Lightning through to the grand final there against the Perry Lakes Hawks.
Well, Justin, you enjoyed our look back at 2002. I'm going to be sad in a few weeks when we get to the end of the season, because we're not going to be able to smash right through the 30 years, but we can save something maybe for next season, perhaps. How about that? Well, look, as we said, a big weekend of action. Depending on when you listen to this, the Boomers have got their quarterfinal, I guess it is, on the Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. Hopefully the Opals get Puerto Rico by more than 25 to get them through into the quarters as well. So that's a big result there we're waiting for.
Hoping that the Wildcats will perhaps add some players before too long as well. I did see some footage of Bryce Cotton watching some games alongside Reese Vague, so maybe he's going to be a possible re-signing.
Yes, I also saw some Instagram footage of Bryce and Reese getting their tattoos done up at Ascendance Tattoo there. look, yeah, you'd sort of be sitting here. I follow a few of the NBL teams on Instagram, and the Jack Jumpers have seemed to put together quite a roster. So hopefully the Cats have got some big announcements coming very shortly.
Illawarra with quite a few signings.
Illawarra
as well.
Illawarra seem to have taken a few on board as well. And Southeast Melbourne signed a few as well. So looking forward to seeing what the Cats have coming up in store. A head coach would be nice as well.
That would help, probably. And Mike Kelly, not to be undersold, but certainly plenty of action across this weekend, starting on Tuesday night, a couple of Thursday night games right through. So you can check out all of those at nbl1.com.au/west, or get involved with the NBL app and then select the NBL 1 West men or women from there. Game of the round for you coming up across the weekend. You got any you're going to have your eye on?
Joondalup versus Coburn.
Yeah.
That goes a long way for the finals. And then, Perry Lakes versus Mandurah. I think that could be a forerunner to the NBL 1 West inaugural grand final.
Certainly something to look forward to across the weekend. Hope you can get around to your local association and check out one of those games. And until next week, I guess we'll be talking to everyone then.
Yep, can't wait. Looking forward to a big weekend of basketball.
You've been with the NBL One West radio show.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.